That on the 13th of October 2020 council meeting. I remind councillors to use the microphones when you are wanting to talk, please. And we'll make a start. So in front of you is our very large agenda of two volumes. Not the largest from what the councillors present have told me, but largest for a few of us councillors here. So welcome everyone, welcome to the gallery for those that are going to represent. We'll make a start. So you will see through the table of contents, we've got it all there. Present is listed on the screen. Everyone is present, there are no apologies. In attendance are the officers, and I'll ask for a confirmation of the minutes of the last council meeting, please. Councillor King, seconder, please. Councillor Cameron, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. So council workshops held since last meeting are presented. The announcements by the mayor are presented. Announcements by councillors are presented as such. I'll ask, are there any declarations of interest coming forward? I'll take that as a no from councillors. Thank you. Any tabling and actions on petitions, Jim?
No.
No, thank you. Over the page to public question time. We've had, as you can see in our agenda, quite a few questions. We've also had some supplementary questions that have come in afterwards. And policy dictates that we accept two questions from each person as they come forward. So therefore, there seems to be a trend of questions with 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. So there will be some questions that we will carry forward to the next meeting. And we will let the person that asked those questions know that we're doing that. So, and with that public question time, you'll see in front of you, you have questions from Emma Hamilton, which is responded by Joe Oliver. There's a question B, responded. Number two, responded, and then a question from Martin Hamilton, 1A, 1B, 2A, which have been responded to, 2B, which have been responded to. Public questions with notice have come in as well. And there are quite a few responses. Over the page to public questions without notice. Are there, we will take them on notice, correct, Jim?
Yes.
So they're those ones.
Yes.
Yes, take them on notice.
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor question time. Councillor questions taken on notice, there are nil.
Nil.
Yeah, no, I'm just, yep. We're just waiting for the governance officer and the GM having a conversation regarding the questions on notice. GM?
Yes,
oh, sorry, governance Jackie. Officer,
apologise.
Jackie.
Apologise. Just a late notification to the chairperson. The submitting party of questions on notice, Emma Hamilton, was contacted by phone today just to explain that she submitted three questions and there's a permitted maximum of two. After consultation, she's asked that her question 2A and 2B be tabled as her questions that she would like to preference for acceptance by the chair, and I've advised her that the chair has the discretion to refuse to accept any additional questions. So her original question one,
yep,
requires a decision from the mayor as chairperson as to whether that is accepted as an additional question.
Yes, and I will take that as a no to that question.
Withdrawn,
yes.
On that basis, I will send the amended copies for the minutes.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Question, councillor questions with notice, there are nil. Councillor questions without notice, councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question for the benefit of
the record. Have there been any further developments with the regard to the proposed prison?
Over to you, GM, for that reply.
No.
Thank you. Any other questions from councillors? Take that as no. Deputations by members of the public. Neil?
Neil.
Thank you. So we head into the planning authority. So for the purposes of considering the following planning authority items, council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. So on page 20, planning authority 1, lot 1, Panorama Road, Blackstone Heights. We have, first off, an email that I'll read out, which was directed to planning, to the council secretary and major of Meander Valley Council. Well, I haven't been there, but we'll call us that as a mayor of Meander Valley Council. I thank the council for informing me via email of the upcoming council meeting tomorrow, which will discuss the proposed new black subdivision at Blackstone Heights. I've sent in a submission opposing this subdivision after it was advertised for comment. Then I was contacted again today via phone to make sure I was not attending. I understand if I could attend, I would have to give my details. I would have had to give them my details prior. I'm disappointed to say that due to significant unforeseen health problems this week, I'm unable to attend the meeting in any capacity. I truly hope other residents attend. Many have spoken about their concerns to me. Also trust my letter will be read and not discarded because I cannot attend in person to voice my concerns. Kindest regards, Danielle Truscott. This table, please. So we have some representatives for Lot 1, Panorama Road, Blackstone Heights. I'll ask, who have we got, John? We got Alexander there, no? Alexandria?
And,
we have, Peter. Here. We've got Peter. Would you like to step up? And Noel Davison is here to listen, yep. Step up to the microphone, Peter, and just depends who you're representing. No. Are you wanting to represent?
Yes.
Just in time. Okay, a couple of late representatives coming in. This has been recording, so while I'm saying a little bit, it's for the purpose of people that are listening that can't hear, so bear with us. So, Peter, you'll have 3 minutes to address the council. I'll ask you to use the microphone because it has been recorded. I'll also ask you to be yourself. It's not, you know, tell us how it is. So I'll let you take the floor, and you're right to go, Peter.
I'm here not generally to oppose the subdivision. I'm here mainly to answer, to ask questions.
Sorry. Oh, sorry, Peter. Sorry, you should have. I'm going to have to ask you that. State your name and where you live, and we'll go from there. We'll start again, Peter.
Okay. My name's Peter Twitchett. I'm at 27 Panorama Road, right in the middle. Like I said, I'm not here to generally oppose to the subdivision. I'm here to sort of ask questions. As in my email, I asked several questions, and I just want to hear what the council has in place. The questions I have is Panorama Road is a very busy road. Has no footpaths. Has large ditch gutters. Is narrow. Gets used by big trucks, lorries, all the rest of it. So with the further development of another 90-odd homes and more traffic and more kids, and I've got young family, what's in place for the future? Will these ditches be covered in? Will we get sidewalks? Will we get safer roads? We use the suburb extensively. We walk the dog. We ride the bikes. We love the place, and we don't want to see people. There's enough... hit by cars or trucks. So that was one of my questions, and then another one of the questions I had was about wildlife, and again, just being the road so busy, anything being put in places, underpasses, or things like that. I forget what the other question was that I had, and I'm not sure if you guys are going to answer these questions.
No. As much as we would like to answer those, we can't. We can actually hear representatives coming forward, but we actually can't come back and answer the question that you specifically ask. You'll probably find that in the agenda, those questions have been answered by the planners.
Yeah.
But I'm quite happy for you to give us your views on bits and pieces. Well, you've still got a bit of time left if you want, but we can't enter into debate.
Yeah, well, I guess
in the process.
I won't take up any more time, but that's my strong view. Is like Blackstone's a bit of a rural suburb, but as it gets busier, it just needs to be made safer for families, kids, and the wildlife. At the moment, it's just not there.
Okay. No, thanks for that, Peter. We're just going to wait for the microphone to be made COVID safe. I'll ask Julie Smith to come forward. And again, Julie, can you just state your name and where you live? And you have 3 minutes to address council. Thank you.
Julie Smith, and I live at 1 Lakeview Court, Blackstone, but I also have some property on Panorama Road as well. My question is the lot sizes. Panorama Road, that area of Blackstone Heights, is a sort of a rurally 1,600 block size. I'm really concerned about the size of the blocks on the internal of the... To me, they're too small, and it's going to make a precedent for a pretty cheap housing type of area. So that was one of my main concerns, was with the block sizes. The other is the road in and out. Have you any other suggestions of any other further roads that will be going in and out? Naturally, the road safety of the trucks coming and going, the wildlife normally as well. And I was wondering about the Tas Water situation. About the planning, the building and the plumbing and all that sort of thing that's going to go in the infrastructure there. Quotes from Tas Water sites provide a number of services to customers, including assistance with planning, building, plumbing, water and sewage related works, trade waste and information requests, additional demands on the water network and the additional loads of the sewage network. Is there going to be enough sewage? What's the situation if there isn't? And also, what's the situation with the impact on the river itself, with all of the extra people that will be living there, as far as boats coming and going? Platypuses do live in the river because, we've seen them down there, and it's connected to my sister's place, that they are there. The road safety is an issue, naturally, because even though the lovely footpath that has been put in, it's still not really safe. And what else have I got? There's also the drainage, all those great big drains that are along the side of the roads. I do believe that they were called, some special rural drainage system. Well, if it's not going to be a rural type of an area anymore, what are we going to do, or what are you guys going to do about all that great big ditch and draining? Because that is a major concern. Knowing that it can kill people along there if they actually run off the road, because my sister's husband, he got hurt a long time ago. He was running into one of those drains. So they are... It's finished.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'll let you wrap up, but...
Well, my biggest concern is the size of the blocks, and do you have any idea of any other access?
That's just going to keep going.
Access and accessing roads through.
Sorry, my phone.
So is 3-minute gong or
your phone? Yeah, well, there was a 3-minute gong and then my phone sort of saying, well, keep going. So.
But, yeah.
Oh, and yeah,
also,
probably
is it still a low-density resident zone or has it been changed?
You're asking questions which we as councillors can't answer at the moment, but you'll probably find it would be in our agenda. But thank you for your representation to council. Sorry about that. Oh, this. Who else we got? Anyone?
That's it. I think.
No other representatives?
No other speakers?
Yeah.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Sorry.
Yes.
Noel Davidson of 32 Bayview Drive. I assume the lot one includes the sign that's outside my place, which is to do with the drainage down through the easement. I assume it's all under the one umbrella. Because my issue is to do with the, which I've sent the email in, is to do with the drain right behind my property, and it's the easement that comes down through my property. I spoke to Justin, I'm not sure Justin here, some time ago, and he was saying we'll probably have to get better plans of what type of drainage they're going to put in the back, because at the moment it's just an open spoon drain. What I sent in showed the photos after I cleaned the blackberries out, which was blocking it. So I've had three floods through my place because they drain. So hopefully we get a better drainage system. Well, the council says, let's have a proper drain. But my other concern is I don't want to see a big 20-tonne excavator come up my driveway and dig up the easement, which has got a fence on it, got gardens on it, which good old Keith Pybus allowed in his days. So that's a real concern for me. The development, I don't have an issue with. It's just to do my backyards, copying all the water, coming off that hill. And I've actually taken a photo, which I haven't sent in, when it was raining here 3 weeks ago, we had a fair bit of rain. And this was about an hour later, and that spoon drain was three parts full. That was an hour later after the rain had stopped. So that's my big concern. I don't want to get flooded out again because it does come just straight down our property.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Thanks very much, sir.
Thanks, Noel. Okay. That's it. Rep the representatives. Okay. Shift that out of the road. So in front of us, councillors, when I get to the right page. We have a recommendation that sits in front of us. Would somebody like to move the recommendation as it sits? I'll ask again. Would somebody like to move the representation as is in front of us? Councillor King, a seconder of the motion, please. Councillor Cameron, as the mover of the motion, Councillor King.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank our staff for investing the amount of time and effort that they have into working with the developer to bring this item to the agenda. And I'm also sympathetic and understand the concerns of the representatives. I would like to think with the number of properties proposed for this development, that there will be ample revenue to upgrade the infrastructure in and around Blackstone and for most of the issues raised to be addressed as the area is intensified and developed. I think we can well afford to sort out the issues with stormwater management and with pedestrian safety. And some road safety initiatives as well. So I look forward to seeing how it all develops. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Cameron, a seconder.
I don't really have anything else to add other just to follow on from what Tanya says. I think the beauty of this may be that it's in stages and hopefully that some of the concerns that the representatives have spoken about today will be able to be addressed as it goes because they do raise some good points.
Thanks, Councillor. Your microphone. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of questions to the GM, if I can. Basically, they're very similar to what Peter and Julie have said. I just thought that for the councillors to hear it from the GM prior to debating and discussing, and as well as the residents that are here. Quite simple questions in a sense, but just to clarify. General Manager, what plans does Council have in relation to a second exit from Blackstone Heights and a time frame?
I don't have any time frame, Councillor, and the plans for a second exit will be subject to traffic studies.
Okay. What I should have preceded was that the Councillor responses I thought needed to be in more detail on these two issues. That's the reason I'm asking you, General Manager, for both the residents who can hear us on tape and those that are in the room. The second one, with the road network, what is the what's likely to be proposed in that area for exits and intersections in the short term to alleviate the traffic problems both Panorama Road and down towards Pitcher Parade and the junction with Country Club Avenue?
I'll take advice from Dino.
Dino, you better come forward.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I guess immediately, Councillor Knott, the intersection that we're, I guess, considering to do improvements on, based on advice in the traffic impact assessment, is at the intersection of Casino Rise and Country Club Avenue. The timing of that is not sort of locked in, but that would be, I guess, the higher priority for us. And then we'll work through the other intersections in the area and undertake improvements, investigate those improvements over the coming months, I guess, given the safety issues that have been raised in the TIA.
Thank you.
Councillor.
Perhaps there might be one further one that I can ask. As far as Panorama Road, and it's been mentioned by the representatives, and it may go also to Dino, in a sense that Director May answer this, as far as the drains and or the curbing footpaths in Panorama Drive. Time frame or some idea of what might be intended in the short term?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council has previously, I guess, looked at some staging plans for footpaths throughout Blackstone Heights, but at this point in time there's no sort of commitment to funding towards that work in terms of footpaths or piping the open drains.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillors, any other questions, comments? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm concerned that the concerns of the representatives aren't being considered at the moment, that they're just on some maybe wish list for some time in the future. I don't see any reason why they can't be set in stone now or resolved to be set in stone now before this goes ahead.
I think the whole area, as we discussed at the workshop the other day, Councillor, you know, we have to look at the whole Prospect Vale Blackstone Heights traffic situation. We have to undertake a study. We have to actually consider things. Any commitment here would be commitment without any data and analysis as a basis for it. I think the representative's points are well made. Like any area that is subject to significant growth proposals, we have to actually look at the impact of those growth proposals. But it's one thing to do that with a scientific basis, for want of a better description, and informed by studies. It's a different thing to try and preempt those studies and that work, and to your desire to satisfy with clarity in this document or this proposal at the moment.
Thanks, Jim. Councillors, questions, discussions? Councillor Sinfield, I'll ask you to turn your microphone on, please.
I won't be supporting this as proposed because of what I'd, for want of a better term, the sub-minimal lots that are included in it, the 7 or 8 that are vastly reduced. We've had one verbal representation today and quite a few written ones that are commenting on the lot density. In my view, Blackstone Heights has a certain character. yes, there are a couple of examples in Glover Avenue, etc., that depart from it, but I don't believe they ought to be the precedent as per another agenda item that's coming before us later. In my view, we ought to be maintaining that character or else having a significant discussion with the community about whether they want it to change into, you know, the overall aspect of Blackstone Heights to change. I understand that they're, you know, interspersed to some extent, but I haven't seen any real argument other than lot yield as to why these lots couldn't simply be, you know, two lots or three lots combined to make two, and hence not be an issue in this way. And yes, absolutely cognizant of the ultimate end game of Blackstone Heights turning into, you know, the open areas turning into residential and open space under the scheme. That's what it's earmarked for, but as I say, for me, it's a departure from, you know, 20 odd years of development that has occurred in a certain way. We're now, in my view, departing from that. You look at the surrounding lots, even in the image on the screen, and, you know, we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm not convinced that's necessarily a good outcome. It's good to see some of the other development, and as I say, this is what the area is earmarked for. But let's do it in a reasonable manner that reflects the history that we've got, in my view.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Any other discussion, councillors' comments? If not, I go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. I think from listening to the representatives and to reading the material, I don't think that, correct me if I'm wrong, that anyone's overly against the subdivision itself. It's more just to ensure that it's done properly, that the things like the roads and footpaths and services, you know, safety is really considered, and I'd like to think that will be part of the next process, so I'm happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor King is the mover of the motion. All good? Okay. On that basis, then, I will put the motion as it stands. All those in favour, please. Sorry, Councillor Knott. Oh, sorry. Okay. You're very lucky that it was all but gone and done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for the opportunity to do that.
You had your opportunity a minute ago, Councillor Knott, but you failed to do that.
I was just waiting, sorry. My apologies. This particular development was first came to Council in January this year with very subminimal lots. In fact, it was 87 or 89 lots, and it was, in fact, many of them under 1,000 square metres, 1,100 and 1,200 and so on. 22 representatives, and this time there's another 8, there's 18, of which all told there are 30. We've heard from some today. Very pleased to see that the lot size has increased from what it was in January. That's a plus. Very good to see the public open space to be significant, 15,989. I have two major concerns, and they've both been mentioned by residents, representatives, and in relation to risk. And they are, the first of all, the traffic risk on the network, Panorama Road, but with the narrowness of the road, the bottlenecks and queuing and so on coming out into past Pitcher Parade. I understand that we've heard that there will be some improvements, but this is a significant development in 95 lots. I think it needs further investigation and discussion in relation to that. That's one reason, because I think there's safety and risk involved. I was told by a resident just this morning that Christmas Eve 2016, a young lady in a car hit a kangaroo, finished up in the ditch and was killed. Christmas Eve 2016. The bottlenecks on Panorama Road and other the flow of traffic will be impaired. And as far as pedestrians and cyclists using that road, I think it's for those that have been up there and travelled it regularly would know that it's not normally wide enough, really, with trucks and whatever, and that's been mentioned. But in addition to that, there's a drain on both sides. And there, while there may be a footpath on one side, right? The other major point is fire risk. We are increasingly aware of more fires throughout Australia. And should there be a fire, there's only one exit. Now, this was mentioned in the council's 20-year plan, and it was mentioned in the structure plan for Blackstone Heights and Prospect Vale. At the moment, since the structure plan 2015 has come to council, there's been no action. There's not even a mention of when something might be done in that regard. I've heard of from Pitcher Parade to Mount Leslie, Neptune Drive to Mount Leslie, Neptune Drive to Outram Street, and some of these are in the representations. You would have read them if you'd seen those. And also Blackstone Road to Travellers Rest and Wilderness Way. So these are potential avenues of exit. Now, as well as that, getting out of, should there be a fire, and who knows what the fire situation is, we've got to be prepared for that. At the moment, in my view, dare I say, council's been sitting on its hands, because we've known that for quite some time about an exit. Numbers of people, and here we have a 95-lot subdivision increased. Could I just mention too that Evan Hughes in Baker Court sent me details of, and in fact it's in the, in his representation, where in development at Ingleside, but in the northern beaches of Sydney, where the planning authority agreed to shelve the plans for development. Because of the severe extreme bushfire risk to residents. And secondly, the other thing he mentioned in that was that while that was a much bigger project, you know, the other thing was with fire, fire's a danger in itself, but it's when people are travelling when there's a fire about. And we've seen that both in Tasmania, but more so on the mainland in just recent times. So they're my major concerns. As Councillor has mentioned, it was 1,600 square metres, the blocks, and that's the acceptable, and yet there have been 1,500. There's still 10 between 1,000 and 1,500. I don't think this would be, if it's approved, would be a very, very best outcome. The best outcome would be close to the minimum lots, and secondly, Panorama Road fixed, and the other two things about considering fire risk and
five
safety
minutes,
risk.
5 minutes, Councillor. 5 minutes.
Safety risk as far as traffic. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Councillor. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion, Councillors? Okay. On that basis, I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is 6-4. Those against? 6-4 for a tenure. 3 against. That motion is passed. Thank you. Thank you, those representatives. You can now go. Thank you. Okay, for those of you that are listening by audio, we are changing seats and bringing those in for PA2 to listen. Okay, Planning Authority 2, we're all here. We have two representatives today. I'll ask Chris Brown to come forward, and I'll ask you to state your name and address, Chris, and you have 3 minutes to address the council. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Johnson and councillors. My name's Chris Brown. I live at 209 Farrells Road, Reedy Marsh. Firstly, I'd like to thank the council for allowing me to speak. I really appreciate it, as it allows me to put a face to my application, which I think is important. One of my greatest fears is speaking in public, so I hope you'll forgive me from reading out from a prepared speech. I believe my application complies with the rural living zone area of Reedy Marsh, as shown by Mr. Livingston of Livingston Natural Resource Services. He goes into great detail to show that there is no impact on native flora and fauna. So I rely on his expertise. I don't believe there is an impact on local residents. As I've already shown in my email to you, there are already homes on small blocks on and around Farrells Road. I don't believe the proposed dwelling will be seen by neighbours or passing traffic. Farrells Road is a no-through road. There are wattle trees screening the building envelope. We are also happy to plant additional screening trees to ensure that outcome. I will also add more plantings to the existing trees that block visibility from my existing home so that there is an ability to increase privacy. As I have made in my application, I have made an application with Property Services to buy a Crown Land Reserve Road, which means that the building envelope could be even further removed from Farrells Road without bringing it closer to my existing home. This would provide more spacing to allow all dwellings between neighbours to be even further apart. I've also brought two signed letters with me, provided by my immediate neighbours that share boundaries with me, including the owner of the home directly opposite the entrance to the proposed building site. And their letters state that they have no objections to my proposal. As you may be aware, I have copies of those that can go to all the councillors. As you may be aware, our reason for the subdivision is to enable my son Jaden Brown and his partner Tanique Wisby to build next door to me. As I've said in my email, this really would be life-changing for me and my partner, Cherie, and will allow us to remain living in Reedy Marsh for many more years than otherwise would be the case. As Cherie has a severe disability after having a stroke, and my ability to maintain the property has been considerably limited since my accident, which I fractured 4 vertebrae in my back. So I ask you to please use your discretion and approve our subdivision. On behalf of myself, Cherie, Jaden and Tanique, thank you for listening.
Okay. So, Mr. Ricketts, as a representative, I'll ask you to come forward and you have 3 minutes. Please state your name and address. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Andrew Ricketts, 780 Larkhams Road, Reedy Marsh. I lodged an objection to this development and was one of two objections. I've been working on land use planning matters since 1991, and in Meander Valley Council area since 1995. I participated in the PAL amendment, the development of the Meander Valley Interim Planning Scheme 2013, and I especially worked on Amendment 4 of 2015. In that amendment, a decision was made and a lot of discussion occurred over the minimum lot size for Reedy Marsh. Table 13.1 reflects the decision that the Commission made. Mr. Elkin, the other objector, advocated no subdivision in Reedy Marsh. I advocated a minimum lot size of 15 hectares, and there's a complicated array of reasons for that. I know the developer, as most people in Reedy Marsh know each other. This is not a personal issue, nor have I had any discussion with Mr. Elkin. I feel that I owe Mr. Elkin an apology, and I'm making that apology publicly, because it's clear that the 15 hectares over and over is being rorted and diminished, and the attendant amenity of Reedy Marsh is gradually being lost. The senior strategic planner's report I support, and I appreciate her neutrality about the matter. The 10 hectare title of the applicant, I'm not sure who the applicant is actually, the planning notice said PDA Surveyors OBOT Wisby, but the agenda item states something different. So anyway, I note that. I've produced a table which I understand the general manager has up on the overhead projector, which shows...
Your 3 minutes is up, Mr. Ricketts. I'll extend it for half a minute to let you wrap up. But
thank you very much. The table, I have sent the table to you by email. You will see that in the Willowdale area, which is the Farrells Road area, that the average lot size of the of all the titles is 20 odd hectares, just a bit over 20 hectares on page 2, I think. So I remain of the view that this is a subdivision way below the minimum, and I urge you to listen to your strategic planner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ricketts. Okay, no more representatives. So, in front of us, councillors, we have the recommendation that is there. Would somebody like to move? Councillor Temple. Somebody like to second the recommendation? Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Temple is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just, although I have some sympathy for the developer, I believe it's significantly below the lot size, and that the recommendation should be adopted.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. Councillor Sinfield has a seconder.
Yeah, I basically concur with those comments. I think that with its current configuration, I think the impact is a dramatic departure from the local area objectives and desired future character for Reedy Marsh. Yes, you can find some lot sizes down around there, but you know, a lot of science went into this aspect of the scheme, and whilst I've mentioned previously, I think there are other things that you could possibly do, and I appreciate that the owner of the property has indicated some further measures that might make a further improvement. That's not really what's before us. If they were, I may view this differently, but on the application that we've got, I just struggle too much with the departure from what has been, as I say, scientifically put together in determining this part of of our municipality. And I'll leave it at that for the time being.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Read this very carefully, and I can see that obviously in an historical sense there are a number of lots that are smaller size. I do have some sympathy for Mr. Brown. I understand, and I understand his emotional representation. I did explain to him the workings of this today, as I spoke to him on the phone on Saturday morning, and a very good move on his part to contact councillors. I think it should happen more often. However, because it's up for refusal because of lot size, I do believe it's a dangerous precedent to if this was lost today. It may be that it's taken to appeal and it may be overturned. But as it's been mentioned, a senior planner, strategic planner, has put it up for refusal. And as we've seen on the board from Mr. Ricketts, the average lot size in that area is 20 to 25 hectares. So this is certainly a marked move from that particular position. So, in different circumstances, I might have voted in a different way, but I do feel that if there's lot sizes there, I'd like to think if it was possible to put another house on that first site or some way there, if that could be done, I think that might be, if it's a possibility, I'd like to see it considered. But as it is, I'll have to support the motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor. I actually have a different opinion of this recommendation. I have a different view, and I don't believe that we're making a correct decision with what's before us, and I would like to move an alternate motion, if I may.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor Kelly, moving an alternative motion. Do we have a seconder for that alternative motion? Councillor, sorry? We need to say it first, correct. Sorry. Okay, do you want me to read all that out? I think that should be you, GMU. I think you could read that out. Can we all read it? Can we all see it? No, we're all reading it. Is that it? Do you want to... Just a little bit. Oh, okay. No, that's all. Yeah. Deputy Mayor will give a brief overview of that, I'm sure. You may have to speak into a microphone, Krista, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just, I guess, simply, it is a recommendation for approval with the standard conditions that we would put on for any of the subdivision in the area. If there was additional conditions that you would like regarding screening, etc., we could also add those.
As the mover of the motion, Councillor Kelly.
Look, putting it simply, it's not going to have a major impact on the area or the neighbours. The whole area out there is chopped up with bits and pieces, as we know. A lot of us know the area quite well. And I believe it's a sensible development, what's been proposed.
Thank you. Okay, having seen the motion, would somebody like to second that motion, Councillor Sheriff, and speak to the motion, Councillor Sheriff?
I think the work Mr. Brown's put into this, I commend him for it. He's doing what any normal person would do with their land if they intend to break it up and build other dwellings or sell it off. I think they should be allowed to do that. I sympathise with him for having to go through this rigmarole to actually get it passed, but so I think when you've got land, you should be able to do within reason what you want to do with it. There is lot sizes down at Reedy Marsh that are smaller than these proposed lots, so I don't see that there's an argument. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Sheriff. Any discussion, councillors, on the alternative motion? Councillor King.
Thank you. I have had a conversation with Mr. Brown leading up to the meeting once his agenda item was published, and the correspondence that I've had indicates that Mr. Brown makes some very valid points, especially with regard to lot sizes and some of the already existing lot sizes. His existing dwelling is very neat and tidy, and to that end, I think the risk of a visual blight, considering the application before us, is very low, and I'm quite happy to support his application for subdivision.
Councillor King. Councillors, any other discussion? If not, I'll be putting the alternative motion up as it stands on the screen. So all those in favour of the alternative motion, please say aye and raise your hands. That is 6 in the affirmative. Those against, 3 in the negative. That motion is passed. Thank you. So that motion will then override the previous motion. And that is done. Thank you. Moving on to the next.
You have to put it to the vote then.
That's now the motion.
That's now the motion. Sorry, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Sinfield, for correcting me. So now we have to put...
You've effectively replaced the original motion.
Yes, with this motion.
Now you have to put that to the vote.
Okay, you've got to put this motion to the vote. So the motion that stands on the screen, which you've just voted for, I'm now putting this motion up. All those in favour, please raise your hands or say aye. Thank you. And against? Thank you. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, councillors. Okay, moving on to page 426, Planning Authority 3. We will let these representatives go and the next lot come in. Thank you. Welcome to those that have just joined us. We're looking at Planning Authority 3. Dexter Road, Westbury. We have four people. We've still got four people.
Three.
So that one's out. That will address the councillors. I'll ask you to come forward, pick up the microphone. This is being recorded. You've got 3 minutes to talk to the councillors. Right, and Jason, righto. So I'm going to ask Peter to come forward. I'll ask you to tell us your name and where you live, Peter, and you've got 3 minutes. And don't feel intimidated, please.
G'day, I'm Peter. I live at number 70 Franklin Street, Westbury. Four of the units would probably are going to impinge on me, and I have concerns about the fencing, my privacy. I understand that the fence may be in the wrong spot from talking to the previous owner, but I wasn't too fussed about it at the time when I bought it because there was nothing there. I think some of the fences need repair, and I'm concerned about, because it's going to be a strata title, who I'm going to deal with multiple people instead of one person. I'm also a bit concerned about stormwater because I know that Franklin Street floods in my area sometimes. That's about it. Hope I was 3 minutes.
I'll turn that on a bit better.
Thank you. I'm Joanne and I live in 5 Acre Row, but my father owns a rental property near the entrance of the proposed units, and my mother-in-law lives in Franklin Street and she's a bit concerned about development. I'm personally not against all subdivision and development, and there's a place for having some if it's carefully considered, of course. And there's some ways that such a project could benefit the community, but I just feel that 20 units are a lot for this space. Though after discussion with Jason, I've discovered it's all done to regulations, of course. But I have empathy for the neighbours, such as Peter, because they're used to having a paddock over their back fence. And I think the long-term residents should be considered. Sorry, I'm not used to public speaking. What concerns me most about the proposal is, if this application is approved, where will it stop and how many other delightful internal blocks are going to end up covered in units? And I'm just concerned about they're being just bled for financial gain without regard for the future social and lifestyle implications upon the residents of Westbury. And if all the paddocks and internal blocks were to end up covered in units, where would you find space to put the essential future infrastructure such as a nursing home and retirement village to accommodate and look after our growing elderly population, since if Westbury is to continue growing as the Meander Valley Council seems to be pushing for? Because I would predict that this would be necessary in the future. And I'd just like to see you set aside pieces of land for places such as a nursing home or retirement village and maybe even a hospital if the town keeps growing. And I just wanted to point out that people choose to live in Westbury because they love the lifestyle of a small historic country village, and I'd just like to see this preserved. And we need to preserve a certain percentage of internal and other blocks to retain the country village spirit of the town. Another thing I wanted to point out was I went to view the application plans and I thought they all looked like they'd done a good job, Jason, except I thought they were very close together and I don't like to see buildings so close together. But I'd like to see residents have more privacy and well-being. Here is an example of the potential problems of overcrowded units. I have an artist friend who used to live in Westbury in a rental unit with another very close behind. She liked to open the window for fresh air but would find her home invaded by cigarette smoke from the persons who lived behind. Even when the window was shut, the smoke still worked its way in. She is a chronic asthmatic and it adversely affected her health, and eventually her doctor urged her that she needed to find somewhere else to live. However, this is not so easy for a single person on low income to find somewhere that's suitable and affordable. And I have another friend who works at the IGA who also had trouble to find somewhere affordable to rent in Westbury. So this brings me back to the possible benefits of building some new units if they are designed with intelligent foresight, with enough space and privacy between, and if some are available as affordable rental properties to benefit our fellows in the community.
Joanne, you're over your time. I'll let you wrap up if you want to.
I just want to say, can we be sure that Meander Valley Council will put a curb on the number of multiple units approved to preserve the integrity of the country village atmosphere of Westbury, including to ensure that lots are not too small and close together or affecting adversely any pre-existing residents? Has Council had foresight to retain suitable sites for facilities which will be essential to community in future? Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay, Jason Van Zetten, 3 minutes. Jason, when you're ready, name and address, please.
Jason Van Zetten, New Eccleston Road, Riverside. I represent the developer here today who's unfortunately stuck in Melbourne with lockdown issues. He's a owner of a property here in the council and intends to do the units and work with where we can to come up with a development that suits the site. From the start, we didn't aim at the highest density, which would have been somewhere near 33 units. We've kept it very loose and relaxed, and in our opinion, we both agreed to cap it at the 20, covering bigger private open space, bigger access, parking, and deal with all the as many planning issues as we could. I'm sure everybody's read the reports and the information there, but thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, councillors, planning item 3. You have a recommendation that sits in front of you there. Somebody like to move? Councillor Sheriff. Somebody like to second? Councillor Cameron. As a mover, Councillor Sheriff, discussion.
I haven't got a lot to say about the development. I think we're very fortunate that people choose our municipality to do these type of developments. I think it could be a good thing for Westbury, done right. And, yeah, that's about it, I think.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron, as a seconder.
Look, I think a development of 20 units is probably a little bit daunting at your initial look, but I do... there was a development a little while ago near where I was living with 8 units in a much smaller block, had a lot less parking. So I look at this one relatively favourably. I think that a lot of work has gone into the private open space aspect of it, the parking, making sure that everybody's sort of got their own place. Look, real estate's pretty hard to come by in some of these areas, so I think it's probably quite looking forward to seeing how they turn out. I'm sure they'll be managed quite well. Justin's pretty strict. Or Leanne, sorry. Stricter.
Thanks, Councillor. I open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Bower. Councillor Bower.
Thank you. I guess from my point of view, I think this is actually one of a very responsible sort of development that I've seen for quite some time. Normally developers like to fit as many units as they can into the space allocated. This has not been the case with this. I'd also like to point out that we do have an ageing demographic. There is a real requirement for units, and especially in the Westbury area. Other units that have been here have a great big waiting list for these things to come up, and I think they do attract a different demographic, and I think it's a fantastic opportunity for especially people in Westbury who may want to downsize as well, so they can actually still remain living in Westbury and ageing in Westbury.
Thanks, Councillor Bower. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thank the representatives and Jason on behalf of the owner. Not against all subdivisions. My only concern is that perhaps I'd be much more comfortable had there been 12 to 15 rather than 20. You might wonder why. In other parts of Westbury, there's been a carve up of land. I think 12 or 15 would still provide the enough space between them and so on. It's been mentioned by a representative. The other thing, of course, against that is it wouldn't provide as much profit. And when I read one of the representations, it indicated that sad to see farmland being sold for internal lots that couldn't make enough from the farm to do that. On a positive sense, Bat lacks blocks, and good to see all the rubbish bins inside. As I said, if it had been a bit smaller than that, and I understand why, because it's not going to have the yield that the owner-developer would have wanted, but it's just my thought with, as has been mentioned, that is this a sign of things to come, and that many of the lots within Westbury will continue to be divided perhaps more so than not. I won't be supporting it for those reasons. Thank you.
Councillor Knott, thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor King.
Thank you. While we're not accustomed to large unit developments in Westbury, the applicant has put forward a comparatively sparse development, allowing sufficient room for parking and amenity. It's my opinion that visually from the street, the sympathetic garden arrangement provided in the drawings will mediate some of the visual concerns with a large unit development.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Kelly.
Yes, look, I do congratulate the developer to make the decision to go from 33 units to 20. I think it's very smart. I think it's a great design, and I'll be supporting the motion.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, I won't be supporting this. Absolutely appreciate that it's an infill development, and that it's a infilling it with houses is a totally suitable and appropriate thing to do. I'm mindful of the fact of the distance to, you know, areas such as the village green, town common, the commercial area. It's almost 400 metres to the primary school, which is in fact to the east and not to the west, as in the report, but that's a minor detail. I have a few problems with the this zone is actually, you know, part of the a planning directive from the state, and I think it introduces some rather poor concepts in terms of assessment. When you read, for example, the residential density 10.4.1 of the scheme, part of which the objective is to optimise the use of infrastructure and community services. Well, it may well tick the box of infrastructure. I'm not 100% convinced, for the reasons I've just mentioned, that it ticks community service. I think it's, you know, getting out there, but again, you could ask yourself, well, how is that any different to a normal house on a block that would typically be surrounding it? And I guess going back a step, the zone purpose statement for the general residential areas to encourage residential development that respects the neighbourhood character and provides a high standard of residential amenity. I'm not doubting the quality of the individual buildings, but to me, I can't see that 20 lots of that size is similar to the residential or the neighbourhood character in the surrounding area. There are only two lots in the surrounding block that are multiple dwellings that are, in fact, two dwellings on each of the two lots. I did have an issue with part of the assessment, but I haven't raised it previously because I can't see how on page 442 that the 10.4.2, it says it's required to meet the performance criteria that a dwelling must have a setback from a frontage that's compatible with the existing dwellings in the street. Well, the existing dwellings are quite close to the street. Obviously, as an internal lot, they are extraordinarily different in terms of their setback. But having had a good look at that particular issue, I actually think it met the acceptable solution, and that's why I didn't raise the issue. So never mind meeting the performance criteria, I actually think it satisfies the acceptable solution in A1A, because it's multiple choice. And so I didn't raise that. But for me, I would have liked to have seen something about the site, given its a strata scheme, that it would have had common open space, if you like, within the site itself to, you know, not just have that private open space, but and there are other developments around the state where that's been incorporated in as a feature. So, in other words, you're not going significant distance to find those things. I mean, yes, people hop in a car and go to the shop or do whatever, but if you look at the performance criteria for 10.4.1, yes, it met the probably meets the minimum density issue, but the criteria that are listed there under the thing about being 400 metres from public transport, from business, commercial, urban mixed use, etc., I would have liked to have seen something about the development that addressed those issues, and because it doesn't, I will not be supporting it on this occasion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillors, any other discussion? Okay, if not, I go back to Councillor Cameron as the seconder of the motion.
Nothing else to add, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Sheriff is the mover of the motion.
No, I've got nothing further to add, thanks.
Okay, on that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Against? Thank you. Carried. Thank you. Thank you, representatives. Just waiting for the GM to come back into the room after seeing the representatives out. No representatives, nobody to address us on the next one. can tell us a joke, Deputy Mayor? No, no, you can't. We're recording it. Okay. Got it.
There's a guy in Darwin, and he crossed a crocodile with a homing pigeon. He's afraid it'll come back and bite him.
Oh. She's been with the previous mayor, obviously. He's been reading his same joke book. We're waiting to GM, so that's all right. We're on recording, yeah, that's all right. We had to wait for you to see those people out. So here we are. Planning Authority 4. We have no representatives. Councillor Knott.
Mr. Mayor, having discussed this with the author, I'd like to see this particular amendment deferred until the next workshop, and then it would come back to be discussed and voted on at the November meeting. The reasons I say that is that we've been provided in our notes with very detailed information and comments from the author. My major reason was I wasn't sure about the time frames in relation to discussion and particularly the requirement for a specific area plan for Neptune Drive, which is... With my interest in low density, I feel that if it could be discussed at the next workshop, it could clarify a number of points for all councillors, and it would make it much clearer and give us more time to look at that. And that's the reason I seek deferment. Thank you.
So, Councillor, we need a motion for that, though, won't we? We'll actually ask for a motion and a seconder for that, I think, Councillor, before we... Thank you. It's a motion to defer, Councillor Knott. A seconder for that, Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Sinfield, do you want to talk as the seconder for this motion? I don't know. We'll just check. Can't have his procedure. Just got to vote. Okay. Sorry that I offered that. I'll take that offer back. Oh, well. Just want to make sure. No. Okay. On that basis, then, we'll put the motion. All those in favour of Councillor Knott's motion, please say aye and raise your hand. Councillor Knott, Sinfield, Temple. All those against, please raise. So, King, Sheriff, Bauer, Cameron, Kelly, Johnson. Thank you. So, on that basis then, would somebody like to move the motion as it sits in front of us? Asking again, somebody like to move the motion as it sits in front of us? Councillor King. Seconder for that motion, please. Seconder for that motion, Councillor Cameron. Okay. Councillor King as the mover.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a fair degree of confidence in our planning staff that they have assessed the application and I endorse their recommendation.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Cameron.
I don't have a lot to say. It's just the first stage in a very long process, so I'm happy to support it at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Open it up for discussion, Councillors. Councillor Knott.
I have a fair degree of confidence in the developer, Mr. Harrison, and his creative thinking. I'd like to think that that some of his whimsical ideas might be pruned a little by the author to a degree. I think that he certainly has the right ideas in that particular location. What he plans, but apart from the amended one on Neptune Drive, most innovative, and I guess that if I couldn't get it deferred, then I did not want to stand in the way of it. So and trust that our planning staff can smooth off the rough edges and clarify it for us during the process. So I'll be supporting it.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Your microphone's still on, Councillor Knott. That's all. Councillors, discussions? Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, just a simple point that it's great to see developers having faith and starting to really get stuck into Meander Valley Council. I think it's great that you know, we need more of these developments in our patch. So very supportive.
Thanks, Councillor. For my two bobs worth, I think the developer has shown some vision. He's certainly looking at his area and what he would hope to see for his area. He's obviously putting plans in front of us, which are testing us a little bit, so to speak. But that's nothing wrong with that. It is certainly a vision, and I'm pretty sure the developer wants to leave a legacy going forward. And I can only see with this development and the stages of it that it will only add to that Blackstone prospect area going forward. So I'll be supporting the motion. Councillor Sheriff.
Once again, I commend the developer for his application. This is a good thing for our municipality, and as Councillor Kelly said, we'd welcome more developments of this nature. We need to probably stop putting roadblocks in front of people so we keep getting these developments in our area and they don't move to other municipalities.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors? If not, back to Councillor Cameron as the seconder of the motion.
Got nothing else to add, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor King is the mover.
Yeah, I did take the opportunity to go and have a look at Mr Harrison's proposal when we were invited to do so, and I think this is a fairly unique and new and quite inspiring proposal, and as Councillor Cameron said, it's only the first stage in a long-winded process, so I'm more than happy to proceed and support it at this point in time.
Thanks, Councillor King. And on that basis then, I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye, show your hands. I'm looking. Aye, show your hands. Okay, so okay, you've got that, Marilyn?
No.
Okay, so there's all those against. We'll go the other way. All those against. Councillor Sinfield, there you go. Yes, I thought it would be. Yeah, well, one recording, so we can't see that, so that's all right. I'll turn it off. Thank you, councillors. Oh, I'm not going to say anything. Thank you, planners. Correct me if I'm wrong. Community Corporate Services. No, have I missed one?
Community and Development.
I've missed one.
Community and Development.
What page is that one?
923.
Oh, I missed it. Oh, not by much. 923. Community Development Services. Somebody like to move that? Councillor Cameron. Seconder. Councillor King. Councillor Cameron as the mover.
Just, I think, as I always say, that it's a pleasure to be on the committee and to be able to see some good things that council can do towards some of these community projects. There's some good different ones this time, so as per usual, just encourage people to apply.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor King as a seconder. Okay, that's easy then. I open up for discussion, councillors. Any discussion? Oh, I thought Councillor Sinfield was going to put his hand up. Nearly got me. Discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put the vote. All those in favour, and show your hands, please. Unanimous, thank you. Carried. Corporate Services 2, page 929. Sorry, Corporate Services 1. Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
9 to 9, righto. Yeah. It's on a different page than yours. Oh. Okay, somebody like to move that? Councillor Kelly, seconder. Councillor Knott. Councillor Kelly, any discussion? Councillor Knott, no discussion. Councillors, any discussion? If not, put the vote. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hands. Unanimous, thank you. Corporate Services 2, page 935. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to move? Councillor Kelly, seconder. Councillor Sheriff. Discussion, Councillor Kelly? No. Councillor Sheriff? No. Councillors? Discussion? Take that as no. That's the case. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye or raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you. Infrastructure 1, page 955. Approvals for the following. Somebody like to move? Councillor Knott, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. Councillor Knott, any discussion? Thank you, Councillor Knott. Councillor Sheriff, any discussion? No, thank you. Councillors, discussions? No? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Unanimous again, thank you. Okay, so we're moving into items for closed session of the meeting. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second that we move into closed session? Councillor Sheriff? Seconder? Cameron, thank you. All those in favour? Aye. Against? Carried. We will cease recording. Thank you.